Voyage.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hey, listeners of Fever Dreams, very excited to tell you today, I've got Jane Lynch for you. Really cool. We were so excited to get Jane Lynch involved in our new show, Love, Murder, Florida. This is a really fun, you know, very like Fargo-esque, Better Call Saul-esque. I like to refer to it as How Stella Got Her Groove Back with Murder, Weirdness of Florida, Crime, Dark Comedy. It's a very unique story, but I think it deals with some universal truths in a really funny and messed up way. So this is the first episode, and I really hope you enjoy it. And I want to also say we do have two new standalone episodes, one of which will be released next month, and the other of which will probably be released the subsequent month coming up. Some really cool standalone stuff is also coming your way. But for right now, we have the wonderful Jane Lynch. We have Love, Murder, Florida. This is the first episode. And if you enjoy this episode, you can find the rest of the series, Love, Murder, Florida, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
You have to maintain your bus. Before every run, you check your gauges, make sure the air pressure is between 80 and 120 PSI. Check for leaks under the bus, check stops and warning lights, check mirrors, and check yourself. Check your head. Because all it takes is one slip up and someone can die. Now someone is dead. Someone is dead because of me. Now it's too late.
This is Jane.
Hey, it's Ruthie.
What's up? Today is already starting out lousy.
Just calling to say hey.
It's 6:30 in the morning?
That's the calmest time over here. Everyone knows what to do, at least at the start of the day.
Well, good for you. I had six drivers quit overnight. It's TEPCON 17 over here. I might have to cover some routes myself.
Actually, the higher the number, the lower the urgency for DEFCON. So, like, if things are really bad, you actually say DEFCON 1. Never mind. Why'd they quit?
Because if they stayed, they might have to do some actual work. Who knows? People are always quitting over here. What, no drivers ever quit on you?
Well, actually, I've had two drivers leave in the last 5 years. I guess technically, Diego died, so one resignation and one final resignation. They actually all got together and chipped in to get me a gift card at Sashi's Chashki's for Christmas.
What are you, rubbing it in? I've had 15 drivers quit in the last 18 months.
Well, you do run a pretty tight ship over there. Drivers talk, you know.
Constance, are you fucking kidding me? You're 3 minutes late, again. You're supposed to be on the road already, on a hop. Yeah, give me that look. See what happens.
Maybe this isn't a good time.
Ruthie, I'll call you later.
She never calls me later. But drivers tell me people who work for Jane spend their working days looking up jobs with different companies with better benefits on their phones. Sometimes I think that I might be Jane's only friend. When we were in seventh grade, some girls laughed at my outfit. Okay, to be fair, I was wearing overalls. And Jane screamed at them until they cried. She's always been kind of intense. The reason her drivers keep quitting is Jane pays worse than anyone, but has the most routes. She's got the most routes by underbidding every other school bus operator in Delaware. I know she doesn't sound great, but you have to understand where she comes from. Jane's dad is author Nathanson. He owns Patriot Freight, the biggest trucking company in America. They do billions of dollars in revenue yearly, and he always calls Jane's company her little bus stop. Everyone thinks Jane got a handout from her dad to start her company, but I know for sure he didn't give her a dime. He never helped her build it, and he never recognized her for what she's accomplished. And it takes a long time to catch up to a billionaire. And look, Jane can be really sweet. She bought her little golden Malibu, a toddler bed, and put it next to her bed. She's really kind at heart. That heart is just locked under an iron plate. The four bedrooms in this house were full for years, and now my kids are grown and gone. Everyone's gone. I met my husband Brad in high school. I was a tomboy, he was a jock. Even Jane practically did a spit take when she saw us holding hands in the cafeteria. He could have been with any girl. He was with me. It was quite a bit of hot high school gossip. We got along great when it came to sports. We were good teammates. So when we got married and had kids, we ran breakfast and getting the kids to school like a give-and-go pass. But we were never really romantic. Sure, we had sex, but it was... Well, you ever watch a mechanic do one of those quick oil changes? Yeah. And in the last few years of our marriage, I can't remember us ever kissing. When Brad told me he wanted a divorce, he actually said out loud that he thought of me like a guy friend. When he said that, I thought I was choking, like all the air had been expelled out of my body. I was convinced Brad must have been cheating on me with Tiffany White. I had seen him looking at her at high school. Her boobs came in with vengeance between freshman and sophomore year. She was popular. She never wore overalls. She was the kind of girl people expected Brad to be with. After high school, Tiffany got into opiates. She was arrested for mail fraud. And my understanding is that she's a waitress at our local Big O Tater restaurants now. But to Brad, she was still the pretty girl from high school he missed out on by going with me. I saw them out at the movie theater together a few weeks ago. I was there by myself. I sat in the back and watched them kiss through the whole movie. Ugh, he can have her. I've been too tired to fight Brad on the divorce. His indoor soccer franchise never really took off. I'm the more financially successful one by far. I should have been tougher with the settlement. I really got hit when it came to the alimony, $5,000 a month. But I just wanted out of the marriage. I'd rather be alone. $60,000 a year. You tell me, where am I supposed to make $60,000 magically appear from? So after work now, I come home and I drink until I pass out. Okay, that sounds a lot more rebellious than it is. After a glass and a half, I fall asleep. And then my alarm goes off at 4:30 a.m. It's no picnic.
Keisha? Did you call me?
7 times.
What's happening?
We lost the Timber Grove contract.
What? To who?
Look, they sent an email this morning. Too scared to call. No wonder.
We've had that contract for 17 years. Mr. Harper's son sends me an e-card with a platypus tap dancing for my birthday.
Well, for 20% less, they were happy to take a shit on those 17 years and that platypus.
20%? How can you service that route for... Your profit margins would be razor thin.
You can ask your friend, Jane.
Are you sure it was her?
We regret to inform you, we are using a new operator, Jane Nathanson. The district is in a funding crisis and Jane's bid was crazy low. Yellow. Peace. Ugh. I think Mr. Harper's son is smoking weed again.
Keisha, that contract is 32% of our yearly revenue. we're going to have to lay off drivers. Sherry's having her back surgery next month. Malkay is closing on his first house. Wendell owes that bookie 20 grand. This might literally kill him. What are we going to do?
Is my name Jane? You know who you need to talk to about this.
Trash can. Got my happy butt to work. I need you here.
Jane, how could you do this to me?
Hang on. Don't hang on. What?
How could you do this to me?
Do what? Luca, tomorrow you need to be here. Kids need to catch colds. It builds immunity. Bye.
How could you do this to me?
The Timber Grove contract?
Yes.
It's just business. I made a more competitive bid. You could have matched it.
No one could match it.
Well, that sounds like a you problem, then.
You'll barely make a profit on it.
Hey, it's a numbers game.
Only for you. You treat your drivers like cattle. How do you expect to find all the drivers for this contract? Everyone hates driving for you.
You have plenty of other contracts.
I have had that one since 2005. There are kids who rode those routes with us that drive them for us now. You think they want to work for you? You know what the other drivers call you behind your back? The she-bitch of Wilmington. And that's the nicer nickname they have for you.
It's not my fault you can't keep up with me.
Everyone is right about you.
Excuse me?
I have been selling the sins of the father story to anyone who will listen for years. But there's a point where you can't write off how you treat people because of what you've been through. You're unbelievable.
What did you say to me?
I said you're a complete and utter bitch. That clear enough for you? You are all four faces on the Mount Rushmore of bitches. And you know who else says that? Everyone who works for you. And you know why your turnover is so high? People get their CDL with the training and leave as soon as they can go to a better place, aka any place.
This is business. You're making it personal.
Do you think you have one friend in this world?
Well, I did until 5 seconds ago.
I would say you're right.
Preferential treatment then, huh? That's the price of your friendship?
You know about my divorce settlement. You know I have to pay Brad a gold ship brick of alimony. And you did this to me anyway. I am not asking for preferential treatment. I'm asking not to have the dagger twisted into my back.
And what are you going to do about it?
What's that mean?
It's a simple question.
You
could call Timber Grove, give them your lowest bid, and see if they go back to you. You could pursue new businesses to replace the lost route. You could do 100 different things other than make me the scapegoat for your failure. Stop blaming me and get out of my office. I have actual work to do. Ruth. We were friends. Please don't make me call security.
I left in a fog. It was like I was standing outside of my body watching this happen to someone else. I drove, not knowing where I was going, until I saw a sign that said I was entering Pennsylvania. I pulled over, cried, and called Keisha.
Hey, you leave with a piece of Jane's ass? Ugh, I hope her jaw was still on the floor after you chewed her out.
I'm going to Florida. I can't look at another bus.
Huh?
You're in charge. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. You know how to manage the sports runs, which buses are due for service. Oh, and don't forget to pick up donuts for the monthly birthdays.
A couple weeks? What's up?
You'll do great. Thanks so much, Keisha. You're a great employee. I appreciate you. Also, you're getting a 10% raise effective immediately.
Thanks, Ruth, but can we afford that?
I'm selling my house.
Really? But you've been there since I was, like, 16.
Bye, Keisha.
Hey, Ruth.
What?
While you're in Florida...
Yeah?
You need to get laid.
Bye, Keisha. So I went to Miami. I bought cute bikinis. I ran 5 miles a day. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew whatever it was going to be for me for once. I did my best not to think about anything but margaritas and sunsets. After a week to cool down, I called Jane.
Hey.
Hi.
What's up?
Do you have anything you want to say?
Jesus, Ruth, I don't have time for a soap opera today.
Can you just acknowledge that maybe you could have handled it better?
Like how, exactly?
You could have called me, given me a heads up.
Tip off the competition? That's not how business works.
Were we ever friends? Really?
I felt sorry for you in school. I feel sorry for you now.
That was it. Later that day, I got a text from my ex-husband. The alimony payment was late. I found a waterfront bar and got a watermelon margarita and got good and drunk. Well into the night. Later than I'd stayed up in years, I wandered the beach and ended up falling asleep in the sand. I woke up in a daze. There were people around me. The sun was up. How long had I been asleep? As I blinked away the cobwebs, a man flashed across my field of vision. He was wearing jeans, work boots, and a t-shirt, but he stripped them off and carelessly left them behind him on his way to the water. He had on boxer briefs, and that was it. And he let the water hit him. In the sun, ooh, his body glistened. Water dripped down his chest, highlighting the different areas of his muscles down to the crease. You know, that line that really fit guys have, right above his groin. He was tall, but not lanky. Fit, but not in that way that looks too fussy and weird. He had this beautiful dark hair that matched his eyes. I couldn't keep my eyes off of him. Eventually, he saw me, and then I didn't look away. Maybe I was still a little drunk. He approached me when he came out of the water.
Good morning.
Yes?
Visiting?
Yes. He sat next to me, daringly close, still just in his boxer briefs. How European.
First time in Miami?
Yes. And I realized with a start that he was hitting on me. I mean, nobody had approached me like this in years. I looked around like somebody else might be watching and could advise me, but no one was. We were anonymous, just two people on a beach.
How long are you in town for?
As long as I want.
Good for you. Hey, I was gonna go grab some breakfast. There's a nice spot down the way. You in the mood for a Bloody Mary?
I could be. The idea of having any more alcohol was terrifying to me. I was hungover as it was.
Let me just grab my clothes.
I noticed the other women on the beach eyeing him as well as he grabbed his clothing and dressed himself. One of them turned to glance at me. I knew that look. Jealousy. And in some weird, teeny place that hadn't seen the sunshine in 20 years deep in me, I felt myself swell with bizarre pride. It was like being 19 again, or what I imagine being 19 was like for girls that didn't wear overalls to school.
Ready to go?
Let's do it.
I'm Logan.
Ruth. I did get that Bloody Mary. Hair of the dog, or whatever they say. Fuck it. I was on vacation.
Sounds like she totally screwed you over.
I should have seen it coming. She did it to other people. I just never thought she'd do it to me. We used to have sleepovers at her dad's guest house. We're lifers with each other.
I'm sorry. Are you married?
Could I be sitting here if I was?
Some people would.
Not me. I'm divorced.
Okay. I'm not married either.
If you were, would you have invited me to breakfast?
If I say yes, would you take it as a compliment or judge me?
Let's finish breakfast and I'll decide.
How long have you had your own business?
Oh, if I tell you, you'll know how old I am.
That a bad thing?
Let's just say since the Bush administration.
Senior? I'm kidding. Totally kidding. Come on, you look incredible. For whatever mystery age you are. You're a knockout, don't you know that?
I knew I was in shape. I had run my last triathlon just a year prior. But the way he said it, how he looked at me when he said it, I hadn't thought of myself like that in a long time.
Do you have a big business, a lot of employees to manage?
Oh, define big. I have a manager that works beneath me, 26 drivers, 3 full-time mechanics, an HR person, all that kind of stuff.
Sounds like a lot to deal with.
It is, but I love it, usually.
I work for myself, but I have a sister I take care of. That's enough for me.
Is she young?
She's 5 years younger than me, but she has Down syndrome.
Oh, no.
Hey, she's the happiest person I know. She doesn't feel sorry for herself, no one else should.
Well, I didn't mean it like that.
Totally okay. I know you didn't. She has a great outlook. No matter how bad my day is going, she always puts a smile on my face.
I had 2 more Bloody Marys. My body was hating me, but I just didn't want breakfast with Logan to end.
Blowing it with you is the biggest mistake of his life. He'll wake up and realize it soon. But now you know you're better off without him. Your ex-husband sounds like a real douchebag.
He kind of is.
God, you are so beautiful. I'm sorry, just the way the light is hitting you. This is gonna sound super lame, but can I take your picture? I should shut up, sorry.
Do it. Go ahead. He took a picture of me. I didn't know how to do a sexy pose, so I just kind of stared blankly.
I bet that's the real reason your friend stabbed you in the back. She's probably jealous of you.
I doubt that. She's just a dyed-in-the-wool, dead-behind-the-eyes, ruthless lunatic.
This big contract, these bus routes, how much money are they worth?
Over a year? A lot. Like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
What would happen if Jane wasn't around? Would it all go back to you?
Oh yeah, most likely, but she is.
What if she wasn't?
What do you mean?
What if she was gone?
Like to Europe or something?
No.
You mean?
We're just talking. No harm in talking. Jane's not here. What do you want to do?
Please stop.
Okay.
Love, Murder, Florida is a production of Voyage Media. The series is produced by Nat Mundell, Robert Midas, and Dan Benamor. Directed by Dan Benamor. Written by Cindy Sommer and Dan Benamor. Based on an original story by Cindy Sommer. Starring Jane Lynch as Jane and Tammy Cates as Ruth. Additional cast credits available in the show notes. Edited, sound designed, and mixed by Nick Masitti. Original music by Darlis Gonzalez. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening, and subscribe now for future episodes.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that. If you would like to hear the rest of Love, Murder, Florida, you can find the show by just searching Love, Murder, Florida anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also click on this episode's link or just go to the network Voyage Media if you're on Apple Podcasts. I really think you're going to enjoy it. Thanks for listening.